Welcome back, mother lovers, to a brand new episode of Last Call at McLaren's. We're here with the best damn How I Met Your Father podcast on the internet. I am your host, Josh, here with my best bud, John. How you doing, man?
I am doing great.
Yes.
My blood is still pumping. Can you feel it? This is what you happen when you mess with the warrior.
That's right. The war-ee-ah. Oh, that's right, folks. We are here to talk about How I Met Your Father, Season 1,
right.
Episode 7, Rivka Rebel. That's right. I'm excited to get into it. Just dropped brand new episode. Came out today.
Today!
We're recording this the day it dropped, February 22nd of 2022.
The Tuesday of twos.
That's right. It's Tuesday. Directed by Kelly Park, who also is apparently the director for the next episode, according to IMDb. So I thought that was pretty interesting because other than Pamela Fryman, we haven't seen anybody do double duty as far as the directing goes. What I found interesting about her, she pretty much started her directing career in 2019. So it's only been like 3 years.
Oh, wow.
And she has done a shit ton of TV stuff, like so many different shows. It's crazy how much she has done in the last 3 years. It's pretty wild. So, rock on. Rock on. Written by Karen Joseph Adcock and Rhea Sardana, who are both staff writers on the season of the show.
Nice.
So, like, for those of you who don't know, staff writers, you know, it's like a group of people that get together, they come up with ideas, and then usually one of them will then write an episode, and they kind of bounce it back and forth. So, they are involved with the show throughout, which is good, I think. Having staff writers, I think that's a good idea. So I don't think they had staff writers on How I Met Your Mother.
I don't think so.
So I like that they are doing that, at least for this season, with this one.
So interesting thing, by the way.
Okay.
With, you know how like season 2 was just announced?
Yes.
Rumor has it, Zach Braff season 2.
Interesting, huh? Huh.
Mm-hmm. Does that intrigue you?
It doesn't intrigue me.
Because guess what? Kelly Ripa.
You son of a bitch. Well, now I'm less intrigued. No, I'm
just kidding. You're like, I will never watch season 2.
So the summary for this episode: Valentina helps Sophie with an unexpected career opportunity. Jesse and Sid struggle with procrastination. And Charlie seeks out a nasty Yelp reviewer.
It's actually a really good summary for this episode.
Yeah, so like usual, you know, this episode is getting broken down into multiple storylines. We have three. We start the episode, pretty much everybody's together throughout the first chunk of the episode. And then it splits off into three storylines. We get Sophie and Vale, we get Jesse and Sid, and then we get Charlie and Ellen doing their thing.
You think that's why they made the group 6 instead of 5? So they could do like 3-part stories?
Probably. I wouldn't be surprised. You know, it allows them to not follow the exact storytelling trajectory that How I Met Your Mother did. It gives them the chance to do a bit more and to flesh out the characters in different ways.
That is true.
Yeah. So you don't have to have like a third wheel hanging around.
True.
You know what I mean? Because like, let's say there was no, like, let's say Charlie wasn't around. You'd have Ellen doing nothing. So like, she would probably wind up with one of the groups, and I feel like she wouldn't fit into either story.
No, I don't really think she would.
Let's say Ellen wasn't there and it was just Charlie. I think Charlie could fit in with the guy's story.
I would have loved to have seen him at the party.
At the party, yeah, dude, it would have been that would have been hilarious. He could have been the assistant.
Oh yeah, dude, he would have been a good assistant.
I think that would have been pretty damn funny. A little side note about this episode: Lin-Manuel Miranda is mentioned like 2 or 3 times.
Oh yeah,
in this, and I was like, oh man, how cool would it be if he just like popped up for a little cameo.
Well, so I'm glad you brought this up, because I'm not going to lie, I was really butthurt that they didn't put him in the episode, because yes, he's name dropped on like 5 to 6 different occasions where they're like, Lin-Manuel, Lin-Manuel, Lin-Manuel. And I'm like, oh, they're going to do it. He's going to be in this episode, because of how many times they're like name dropping him.
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh shit, though. He's in season 9 of How I Met Your Mother, though, because he's on the bus. He's the rapping passenger.
Yeah.
And I'm like, so that would be a
That's
really
why
funny...
it makes me think like they could have gotten him. You know what I mean?
Oh, like, yeah. I guarantee you he would have done it just to do it. Yeah. Lynn seems like the kind of guy that you're like, oh, man, I'm like 10 bucks short. And he's like, here's a 20. Don't worry about the cashback.
Yeah.
But, like, I feel like had they put him in the show, though, too many How I Met Your Mother people would have been like, oh, my God, it's a meta break. Because, you know, he's playing himself, but he was on the bus. And
yeah. I still would have been hilarious to see him pop up, like, because she mentions, like, he likes to photobomb.
Yes.
I would have loved that. He just, like, photobombs one of the pictures. Like, hey.
Well, and I was kind of hoping, you know how, like, every once in a while they do, like, the, after the show ends, they kind of, like, they tackle something after the credits.
Yeah.
Like, there will be, like, that moment. I was hoping they were going to, like, show some pictures from the party during the credits.
Yeah.
And, like, maybe he was in one where he's just, like.
Yeah, that would have been cool. That would have been.
But cool. I was really disappointed that we didn't get to see Lynn.
Yeah, that was like the only thing that I was like sad about. Really.
I did like, though, that the opening of this episode starts with like future Sophie, and she's sitting on the couch telling her son, like, you know, like most of these stories involve sex. And he's like, I know. And she's like, well, this one doesn't, but it does involve drugs.
Yeah.
And he's like, what?
Like, I love Kim Cattrall as future Sophie.
Yes. I think it works though, because it's kind of believable.
Yeah. Oh yeah. And I know some people don't like seeing future Sophie. I don't feel that way. I really dig it. I like it.
I was gonna say it beats the alternative to them doing exactly what I'm here.
It's interesting because like you know how there was that the failed pilot, the How I Met Your Dad pilot?
Yeah, yeah.
Which I'm gonna throw this out for the fans. We will at some point be doing an episode where we go through that episode.
Yes.
Where we break it down and watch it and everything. So just keep an eye out for that. It'll eventually happen. That show apparently starts with the future, with the mother writing a letter to her daughter or to her son. It's to one of her kids, whoever it is. I haven't watched it yet. But she's like writing a letter. I don't know if like her kid is like young and it's like a letter to be given in the future. But it's apparently it's a series of written, handwritten letters is what's happening.
Okay.
Which I mean, that could be interesting. But I don't know. I think that it almost feels like it would be too sentimental. And I want the humor.
True.
You know?
It all really depends on the story inside the letter.
Yeah, it's true, and how she decides she's gonna write it, but like, and like, what's the reason? Why is she writing a letter? Is she dying? I don't know.
Maybe she's dead.
Well, I mean, that would be odd, but maybe. But I like the fact that it's just her telling the story, and yeah, like you said, instead of just doing the same thing and showing the kid, because if you show the kid, you could be ruining some of the mystery anyways of what they're building here, you know, because they're trying something very different where one of these, what is it, five people is the father.
Yes.
All right. So like,
well, it's not even necessarily
we
five.
Have already
like
met
three.
Well, we don't know that.
It's not going to be Valentina or
no
Ellen.
Charlie, Sid, Jesse, Drew, and Ian.
Oh shit, I didn't realize it was that many.
Yeah.
Shit.
So there are five guys that it could be. We've met them all.
Yeah.
Which is something completely different from what we saw in How I Met Your Mother.
True.
And so I think it makes sense that we get to see the mother. Like, because again, let's say it's Ian. You would probably notice, like, I doubt that they would cast just a straight out white person for a mixed race child. You know, so like, you're probably not, it's probably, if you saw a white child, it's probably not Ian's and it's probably not Sid's then.
True.
You know what I mean? So I like that they don't show us that. So it keeps that mystery. I don't know.
True.
That's just a crazy tangent, but you know.
I mean, I but this is what we do with this version of the episode.
That's true. That's
you know, we talk about it as like the way it breaks down. And I mean, that that fit with what we were talking about. So
true. So let me ask you this. How did you feel about how the episode starts? Because like I feel like most of the episodes, if not all, I'd have to go back and double check, but most of the episodes start off with the group right away.
I believe.
Whereas this one, it's Sophie. It's the first bit is her. Her at this gallery, and she gets a call. She has a meeting with this gallery owner. She's super excited about it and everything. How did you feel about it starting off with just Sophie? I'm just curious.
I thought it was slightly awkward, but yeah. I get it.
Yeah, it was different. But I like that they're willing to do different things.
Yes.
And we find out here that this lady has no interest in her actual like artistic work. She just wants to hire her to be the photographer at her daughter's bat mitzvah. And it's like, oh man, that's a kick in the balls. You know
it's such a put down too, because you know, we haven't actually seen Sophie's work, but we know she's been published and shit, and like,
yeah,
her work is
I'm assuming some of the photos around the apartment are hers.
I'm assuming.
I don't know. It could be others, but I always assume that some of them, at least maybe that umbrella one that we caught in like the first episode,
maybe
is hers. I don't know. And then we're at the bar at one point. We get Charlie, super proud to be a working person,
getting some great reviews on
Yelp reviews. Ellen's working on a memoir, apparently.
Apparently,
I'm like, okay, don't know why a memoir is the thing that you think is going to be your kind of breakout thing, but hey, sure, why not?
To each their own, man.
And it's funny because on my second viewing, I caught Ellen gives when Charlie's like talking about how excited he is about being in the working force and everything. She gives him like this like annoyed look when he starts talking about it.
Yeah,
that I didn't catch the first time until you kind of know what's going on throughout the episode, which I thought was interesting. Sid drops some info here that I wonder if it will turn into a storyline later on. It's after Sophie comes in and she does the whole, you know, saying bad things that in a happy voice. He's like, oh, I can do that too. The bar is hemorrhaging money. Yes.
And I'm like, that, and I was like, uh-oh.
And I'm like losing money is one thing, but hemorrhaging money, like the choice of words, it's like, that's really not good.
Yeah.
And they just brush over it.
I mean,
like they say it. And that's it. They don't mention it again in the episode.
No, anything, and that's not even I thought about this too. Okay, so I get his part of the storyline is like he's supposed to be doing like his part of the wedding invites. Like, yeah, who does he want at the wedding?
Yeah, he's.
Doing and I'm thinking to myself, if Hannah loves him as much as she claims, he should not be worried about his fucking guest list right now. If the bar is hemorrhaging money.
Question is, does she know it's hemorrhaging money?
I feel like after the last episode,
yeah,
with the way, like, let me in on shit, we'll figure this out together, she has to know.
I hope so.
And here's the thing. Hopefully he can turn it around.
Yeah, I really don't want to see them lose the bar. That would... No matter how much I would love to see them start going to McLaren's, I don't want them to lose Pemberton's.
Yeah.
This has become a part of that show.
I mean, you know? They don't have to necessarily lose Pemberton's to end up at McLaren's. At least.
Well, no, yeah. But if they lose Pemberton's, where are they going to go? They're probably going to wind up like McLaren's for the rest of the time.
Of course. Doing something.
And no matter how much I want to kind of want that, I don't want that also, you know?
Yeah.
And I do, however, think it would make for an interesting like story arc.
Well, there's another moment during this episode. I believe it's Valentina says it, and it had me thinking about the other side of the How I Met Your Mother universe, because she says, pretty sure it was Valentina, she mentions something about 2015.
Oh, 2018, the Halloween party, 2018.
Yes, and I'm like, I wonder if somehow that overlaps with How I Met Your Mother. But I can't remember what was going on in 2018.
No, because the show, the wedding is in 2013. So it's 5 years after the wedding at the end of the show. Oh,
that sucks.
Yeah, so like we wouldn't... I mean, they could be there theoretically at some random Halloween, but it wouldn't have been anything in the show.
Yeah. That sucks.
Yeah. Yeah, because I had that thought too, and I was like, oh wait, 2018. Nah, that's way too that's it. But I hope that we someday get to see what happens there, even though she's like, I'll never tell. Maybe because like if this is supposed to be her in one sitting telling the story, just like it was in How I Met Your Mother, it's a long fucking story, but it's one evening of her telling her kid the story, and she's drinking wine throughout the evening.
True.
Maybe she'll get a little bit past that point and she'll start spilling stuff like that.
True, maybe.
And maybe that story will eventually come out. I don't know. I'm like, I got to know what happened during Halloween 2018, guys. Come on. So apparently we get some information about Timothy Chalamet, who's apparently in the year 2050, he is now a professional wrestler. And I was like, okay, because he's like the opposite of a, do you know who Timothy Chalamet is?
No.
I'm trying to think if you've seen anything that he may be in. Have you at least seen the trailers for Dune?
No.
Okay. I doubt you've seen pretty much anything that he did, but he's like a real skinny.
Keep talking for a second. I'm going to Google him.
He's a real skinny guy. Like the opposite of what you would think when you say professional wrestler.
Really, that bad?
Yeah, like you would not. I would never think he would be a professional wrestler.
Timothy Chalamet.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Yeah, he's super. No. He's a scrub, and that's why she's like he was a tiny actor or something like that.
He looks like he could be like at least in this picture, Skeet Ultridge kid.
Yeah, I could see that. I could totally see that. But yeah, he's a great actor. But like professional wrestler, I mean, I'd love to see how that happened. But I thought that just was a really fun reference, especially as, you know, wrestling fans.
I just assumed that it was somebody like really jacked up. Like I didn't think it was going to be like.
Nope.
I took it as a throwaway gag because I was like, oh, it must be somebody I don't know who's jacked.
Oh, nope. Complete opposite. That's why it made me laugh.
Wow.
I'm glad that now you get it. Now you were able to see who he is.
So which part of the story you want to talk about first?
There was a couple things still in the beginning that I wanted to go over. Sid and Jesse decide they're going to have a pound day.
Yes.
I'm like, come on, guys. Really? That's the name you're going. They're going to pound out their work and help each other to not procrastinate. Like you said, Sid is going to work on the wedding guest list while Jesse is working on writing his first song without Meredith.
Yes.
Okay. And then Jesse and Sophie have a moment, have a shared moment, if you will.
She gives him one of her.
When she gives him the bangle and they give each other like a look.
Yes.
You know, and it's like. Oh, they just had a fucking moment right there. Yeah. I was like, okay, I like that. It's subtle, but okay. I like it. Yeah. It's subtle and I like it.
Yeah.
All right. So yeah, what do we want to talk about? We got three different storylines.
Let's talk about the least important storyline. Let's talk about Ellen and Charlie.
Okay.
Because this one's really quick to get through.
It is. Like even my notes, there's not a lot going on here.
I mean, it's basic. Charlie's super excited he's got a job. Yeah. He's excited about this whole Yelp thing.
Yeah.
And apparently, according to Ellen, she's kind of upset that like Charlie seems to be rubbing it in her face.
Yeah. So like Charlie gets like all like messed up because he gets this 1-star review.
Yeah.
And he's like, he's like, I'm going to find out who did this. And my instant thought was Jay and Silent Bob. Not to the, obviously the same extreme, but I'm just like,
You are the ones who are the ball lickers.
Yes, exactly. So that's where my mind instantly went. And so Charlie thinks it's this lady, Sylvia, who apparently is like a regular there, but we have never seen her before.
Never seen her or heard her mentioned.
Nah, like she's never been in the, as far as I can remember, also, never been in the background or
who
anything.
Who goes to a fucking bar to read?
Yeah, go to a coffee shop for that.
Yeah. Like,
what are you doing, lady? I don't know.
Get your fucking priorities straight.
I did not like this lady. I'm sure we're not really supposed to like this lady, but I really hope she doesn't like become some sort of like comic gag recurring character. I'm just like,
fair.
I don't like her. I don't know why she hates Charlie so much. Like,
I don't think she hates him as much as he was overreading it in the situation.
I mean, the stuff that she was saying to him seemed pretty like, I'm like, fuck you.
Well, but think about it though. He was coming off over aggressive with her though, because he thought she was the one leaving a bad Yelp.
Yeah, but like the shirt thing, he's just like, you know,
yeah, oh, but
you get a new top, and then she's just like, I've had this top for 40 years. You should get a new one. It's not flattering on you. I'm just like,
maybe that was her way of flirting, bro.
Well, then that she's a terrible flirter. No wonder she's reading a book at a bar. Like, damn, I do not like this lady. But he does. I think he tells a pretty funny joke.
I thought the joke was pretty well done.
Why did the bartender put laxatives in the drink?
For shits and giggles.
I thought it was good. But, you know, Sylvia, not apparently a fan of prank humor.
I think with this one, it came off as like, because he's like telling it. She's like, wait, you put laxatives in the drinks? He's like, no, it's a joke.
Yeah, it's a joke. I mean, I get it, but like, yeah, she was having none of it, man.
None of it.
I think they were leaning a little too hard into, oh, it's this lady. You know what I mean? And it's just like,
yeah, that's what partially made me realize that it wasn't her.
Yeah,
because like they leaned really hard into it, and I was like, okay. I'm like, well, the only other obvious person's gonna be Ellen. Yeah. I'm like, I really hope it's not Ellen.
Yeah.
But then the way they explained it made it really funny.
Yeah, I like how, you know, because like it's not like she's lying. You know what I mean? She legitimately didn't remember doing it because she got so drunk.
Well, and that's the thing too, okay? We've all had moments where we've been drunk and done something stupid.
Yeah.
Hers just happens to be the fact that she's such a lightweight with alcohol that she had one martini and she decided to download Yelp and leave some bad reviews.
saying that Charlie had a flat butt.
And then she left a couple by the time he like caught up to it. But like, it just made me laugh because I'm like, man, like he got really butthurt about this.
Yeah.
And then I love it at the end when like they try to rectify their problem between the two of them.
Yeah.
He's like, here, this is what I did for you. And he shows her this Yelp page he created for her.
Yeah, for
her. And somebody fucking calls her.
Yeah, because he put her fucking phone number on it.
Like, I know, but that's what made me laugh, because then she's like, okay, we need to have another, and she emphasizes the word another talk about internet safety.
Yeah.
And I'm like, bravo.
Yeah, I love their kind of chemistry together.
Yes.
Like, I think they were a perfect choice to make them roommates.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, and like, I love the fact that, like, the bar seemed a little bit more busy during this episode.
Yeah.
Like, you saw some more patrons there, some people who were actually, like, hanging out and stuff. And I'm like, okay. So it means he's bringing in, and he's getting 5-star reviews, which means he's getting regulars and stuff like that. So,
yeah, hopefully it'll turn things around. I think having Charlie, bringing him in was a great idea, because obviously
people
really like him there, and I like seeing him there. So,
All right. But then I love how, like, branching from this, Sid could take his day off. He could go work on his guest list for the wedding, which, why are you this close to your wedding and not having the guest list put together?
Yeah, I don't know how far the wedding is away, but like,
I'm pretty sure they mentioned something earlier in the season about it being sometime within this year.
Yeah, I mean, planning a wedding is a pain in the ass, I'll say that.
But the guest list is the first thing you should have.
Yeah, you should.
Because how else are you sending out your invitations to let people know? One, save the date, bridal parties, your fucking groomsmen and shit like that. Like, that relies on your guest list.
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely. That just means they have not done that. They have not sent out any invitations.
Fucking ridiculous.
Yeah. I mean, granted, they just got engaged. Really.
That is true.
I don't know how long it is in between, like how long it's been since the first episode to the seventh episode, but I doubt it's been very long.
True.
And so, yeah, it hasn't been. Yeah. There's a lot to still happen, I think. Maybe it's not the best idea for them to plan their wedding to be so close. Maybe that's the first problem.
Maybe I misheard something. I could have sworn they said, I don't know.
I'm not sure, to be totally
honest. I'll move on from this, though. And while he's doing that, Jesse tries to start his song.
Yeah.
And the stupid fucking pigeon lands on the thing. And I'm like, first off, he made a rookie mistake.
Yep.
He opened the window.
Even, like, I can understand opening the window, but he props it open. He has this stick, right? He could have just opened the window and shoot the bird with the stick.
Yes.
Close the window. Done.
That was exactly what I thought. I'm like, why didn't he just open the window a little bit and use the stick or had tossed something at the window and hope he just didn't break the window?
Yeah, I would have. But yeah, just open it even just a little bit. Shoot the bird with the stick. The bird would have flapped away.
Yeah.
And then close the window. You're done.
Yeah.
You're totally done. No, he props it open. And then a second bird can land there.
Yeah.
And then he doesn't shut the window.
Well, and I thought that, too. I'm like, he's like, you know, oh, Sid's got this video. Let's go look at it. Yeah. I'm like, why didn't you shut the window, dude?
Yeah,
I thought the birds were going to come in then.
Yeah, that's what I assumed, that they would just, like, kind of pop into the window. Even though, like, when they're watching the bird or they're watching the makeup video, there's only one bird on the windowsill. I don't know what happened to the other bird. I don't know where it went, but you can only see one standing there. Yep, went to Cancun. That's right.
But yeah, and then I love how, like, they're like, oh, this video is awesome. It's only like 18 minutes. Yeah. We shouldn't watch it, but we're going to.
Yeah.
Because everybody's been there. Everybody has been down the rabbit hole of YouTube.
Dude.
And it's
all the time.
It gets you.
You're like, oh, sweet. That looks neat. I'm going to watch this. It's only 20 minutes.
Right?
And then you're watching like six of those 20 minutes.
Oh, God, yeah. Dude, there are plenty of times where I'm like, I should try to sleep.
Oh my God! Yeah.
Oh, okay. Oh.
Dude, I've started watching. There, it's this this lady. She's a vocal, and she's like an opera singer, but she does vocal analyzing of songs, of like metal songs.
Oh, okay.
So she'll watch a video that she's never seen or heard before, and she'll analyze the song and the vocals and everything. And they're like 20 to 25 minutes usually, because she'll stop and talk about stuff. And it's really like it's really cool. It's really she does a really good job. But I'll just drop down a rabbit hole. The very first one was Kickapoo from Pick a Destiny.
Yeah,
and it's awesome, just like the way she talks about it. But yeah, I used to watch a lot of those wood turning videos.
Oh yeah,
you know what I mean.
Where they're making shit. I've definitely watched the wood turning ones.
Yeah, a lot of those. So much.
I get into a lot of restoration ones. Like they find like junk model cars or like keyboards, PlayStations, and they like discolor them and like restore them, or like I said, die cast metal cars. They'll sand them down completely and repaint them and refurnish the insides, and like
cool
fucking amazing shit.
Yeah, and then 3 hours later you're like, what am I doing with my life?
I'm also really big into CinemaSins and Everything Wrong With.
Yeah.
Or you know, like what's that other one that I like?
Oh, the
super
pitch
easy. Yeah, the pitch meetings.
Pitch meetings.
I love pitch meetings.
Yeah. I'm not the biggest fan of CinemaSins, but I get the appeal.
I like CinemaSins just because I pick apart the CinemaSins and sin him for every sin that I disagree with.
Well, that's the amen.
Like I was watching one perfect. The other night like where he's like, oh, they did this. And I'm like, yeah, but they explained this in the movie why they did this like this.
And that's
so you for sinning this.
That's why I'm not a fan, because like they'll give you sins, and I'm like, it's not a fucking sin, man. It's a plot element. Like they literally tell you why they're doing this. Like, come on.
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyways, this is not a CinemaSin podcast.
No,
this
no.
is How I Met Your Father.
So they get on their video, and then they come back from it, and all of a sudden there's a bunch of birds.
Well,
now.
They watch the video, but then they wind up going and doing the makeup.
Oh yes,
they're in the kitchen, and they do a full bird face paint makeup on each other.
I noticed something here, and I'm wondering if you noticed this. With the remodel of the house, did you notice that the window that used to be open into the kitchen now has a window in it?
Is it a window, or is it just closed off?
No.
Oh,
It's legit. Like it used to be a little open window.
Yeah, I knew it was open. I just it looked
now
to
it
me,
has it a
always...
piece of glass in there.
Oh, okay. I don't think I realized it was glass.
It's like stained glass.
Because I was like, you can't see in it anymore into the actual kitchen. Yeah.
I was like, oh shit. I'm like, that's cool.
Yeah. They really like. I love that the bare bones of this apartment are all still there, right?
Oh yeah.
But like they changed so much of it to make it feel different.
Yeah, to make it feel new but still loved.
Yeah. Yep. And like so they do these face paints. The one that Sid does on Jesse looks fucking awesome. And the one that Jesse does on Sid
is No. They did their own.
No, they did each other's. Because that's why Jesse apologizes to Sid.
Oh.
He's like, let me try again. Yeah. They do it on each other. And his is just trash. And then, like you said, they come out and there's fucking
birds everywhere, man.
Birds everywhere.
And the fact that they don't try to get them out of the building first.
Yeah, they just like, freak out.
They call like animal control.
Yeah. Who hangs up on them?
Yeah.
And then shows up later on. It's like, well, then why the fuck did you hang up on
right? them? Right? And how did they get the address?
Exactly. It's like, it didn't make sense to me. I'm like,
okay. I thought about that one because I was like, okay. But I think it's funny that they think that going outside of the window with like crackers and shit will somehow draw these birds out the window. And they no sooner climb out the window and the fucking yardstick that they had propping it open kicks out.
Yeah.
And then they're like, locked. Oh, the window's locked.
They also, before that, they go into they hide out in the bathroom for a little bit.
True.
And it brought back all the memories of like, I mean, when Lily and Marshall were trapped in the bathroom. Like Barney sleeping in the tub during the pineapple incident, Zoe in the tub during the Blitz episode. Yeah. So like I think that's the first time we've seen the bathroom this season, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So like seeing it again, I was like, oh yeah, the bathroom. Okay. Which was really cool. And then, yeah, out on the fire escape, I don't think we ever got a scene on the fire escape.
Not like that.
Like we've seen them go out and climb up,
mm-hmm.
but I don't think we've ever had like an actual scene on the fire escape. So I was like, okay, that's different. We're getting closer to the roof, you know. Well, we got the fire escape, you know. Maybe eventually we'll get up to that roof.
I thought it was weird though that they climb out the window, both of them.
Yeah.
And then when the window slams shut on them, because I paid attention to this specifically for a reason. The lock that they have is one of the old school brass half circle ones.
Yeah.
Where you literally got to like crank it around.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way that window fell and that.
Well, if it's loose, like if it's a loose latch, the window hitting could have jostled it to close just a little bit to where
it could connects, have. But
you know what I mean?
I don't know. I'm not buying that one.
But also, like, they were home. Did they just had their door locked the whole time? Because. Like they're out their main door.
True.
Because my first thought was, well, fuck, why didn't they just go downstairs? They climb down the fire escape, go upstairs and go in through their door.
Yeah, good point.
But then when the pest control guy comes in, the animal control guy comes in, he says a super let me in. And then after I saw that, I was like, well, okay, they couldn't have done it themselves. Why didn't they just fucking ask their super? They could have done all of that.
Here's a better question though. We know that the stairs go all the way to the roof.
Yeah.
Because there's a stair entrance on the roof. Why not go to the roof and let yourself back in and go downstairs?
Oh, yeah. You could have done either. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean,
I up just or like, down doesn't matter. Yeah, you could have. But
I'm not going to lie. This storyline kind of upset me because it's unrealistic all the way around.
Yeah, it was a little ridiculous. It was fun. Like, they did some funny, fun stuff.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm just like, you guys just aren't, like, you're not thinking, like, what are you doing?
Because there's two lines that are made during their story arc. One really made me laugh, and it's because of the interaction of it. And the other one, I was like, that was a really dumb fucking comment to have made the person make.
Yeah.
So the one that really kind of upset me is when the pest control guy comes in at the end, the animal control guy comes in, he leans down, looks out the window, goes, is it a sex thing? And I'm like, first off.
Because I've seen that before.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
That line kind of upset me. Because I'm like, that's going into like picking on someone's fetishes.
Yeah.
And that kind of.
Also, shit, like, it's like, you don't fucking know these guys. Like, really?
Exactly.
You're supposed to be there to do a job.
Exactly.
And you're saying that? Like, come on, guy.
The one that made me laugh is when you hear the little kid yell up from the road, look, mom, those ladies. It's like, We're men. And I'm like,
we're men with pigeon face paint.
I was like, that one made me laugh because, yeah, you know, it is what it is. Kids are kids and they're going to say what they want to say.
Yeah.
And I'm like, man.
And then apparently, like the whole thing, the whole reason why Sid is like procrastinating is because he wants to invite people who are important to him, including people back in India.
Yes.
And so this becomes a thing where we find out he wants to have two weddings.
Yeah.
But he's afraid, that Hannah, it's going to overwork her too much.
Yes. And I was like, but I feel like after the last episode, she'd understand.
Yeah.
And we find out she does, and they're going to have two weddings. So congratulations to them.
Yeah. I'm excited to see, you know, if we get to see all that stuff. I hope that they film, that we get, you know, episodes with those weddings, whether it'll be like one episode for both, you know, or there'll be two separate ones. Who knows?
I think maybe we'll just see the one in the States. Because otherwise they would have to, like, explain why everybody goes to India for
Or maybe they'll show, like, just, like a he'll talk about it and we'll get, like, flash to it.
Maybe.
You know, just something real quick. I could see that. Yeah, because, like, you're not going to fly the whole group out to India. Like, that's a little ridiculous. I just don't see that happening.
I did think of the ending for Jesse for this episode was really cool, getting to see him, like, find his melody after looking at the bracelet.
Yeah, he finally finds his inspiration in Sophie.
Yeah.
You know, which I think is, again, they're pointing us toward something happening there, you know. And no Drew in this episode.
I noticed that as
well. I don't even think they mentioned him.
Not even once.
Yeah, and I'm just like, huh, okay. Well, we'll see how that's going to go.
Yeah.
I wonder if we're... if they're going to pull, you know, what they did at the end of season one of How I Met Your Mother, and they're going to break up.
Maybe.
I don't know. We'll see. We only got, three episodes?
Three episodes left.
Yeah, so we'll.
So we now let's talk about Valentina and Sophie.
Yes.
Which was my favorite part of this entire episode.
Yes.
Because for one, I love the way these two work off one another.
Oh, yeah.
As we talked about at the very beginning, Sophie gets offered to go do this bat mitzvah, and she needs to take an assistant with her.
Mm-hmm.
And she asks Valentina, and Valentina originally says no, but after some
She makes up this, like, we don't know that it's made up. We find out later on that it's that she makes up this story about how she has to go to work, and she has to do, like, dressing fittings for Timothy Chalamet. That's where the whole Timothy Chalamet thing comes in. And little do we know that that's none of that is actually true for what she actually has to do.
But yeah, so I love that, like, after a little coercing, she agrees to go. Because, I mean, of course she's going to go. Especially when she finds out, like, once she gets there, who it is. She's super psyched and wouldn't want to be anywhere else.
Yeah.
So now, when you saw the daughter, what was her name? Rika?
Rivka. It's the name of the episode, Rivka. Yeah.
What was the first person that came to mind? Because as soon as I saw her in the episode, I went... Is she trying to be so
like a Paris Hilton kind of thing?
Ariana Grande.
Oh, I could see that with the hair and stuff.
Dress with the hair.
Yeah, I could see
I was that. Like, she's trying to be Ariana Grande. Wholeheartedly.
Yeah, I could have. Man, this chick. So all three storylines kind of had, I put this in my notes. I was like, all three storylines had a bitch.
Yes.
You know, you had Rivka, you had Sylvia, and you had the pigeons.
Fair. Rivka deserved nothing. And I don't want to brush over the storyline super fast, but, like, obviously Sophie gets there. She's starting to get set up. The mom's like, oh, here's my daughter, Rivka. And fucking Val's like, I need to get a trophy.
Because apparently she's, like, a big Instagram.
She's an influencer.
You know, an influencer. She's young, obviously, but she's a big influencer. This is kind of where we start to feel like, well, something's going on with Vale.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, she, you know, she's all like, oh, I want to build my brand. But, like, if she's doing so incredibly well in this job of hers, why would she so desperately need to build this brand by kind of screwing her friend over?
Yeah.
So like that's where you kind of get your first inkling that something is going on with her. And yeah, she does it multiple times throughout the episode. So the thing that I thought was hilarious throughout this part was when these kids steal her pills.
Yes.
Now, first off, when they quote unquote kick in and she starts going crazy and dancing real fast, yeah, and talking fast, and she's like, "Oh, it reminds me of the first time I tried Adderall," and she's like, "Oh." And so she acts surprised, like, "Oh no, like they took my pills." But then she's like, "Sophie, so they stole my tin of pills." She never checks her purse. It's not like she opens her purse to look for it. It's like she knew that they did it in that scene. So I don't know. I think that was just like a poor writing choice. She should have been like, and like looked in her purse real quick, and then she could have been like, "So,"
or then she, go into, yeah, that. Yeah, or she could have been like, "They might have taken some drugs."
Yeah, it's like there's a possibility.
Yeah,
that they got a hold of my tin of drugs.
I will say though, I love when she realizes that the actual drugs were in her dress up here.
Yeah,
and she realizes and she goes, "Oh, all they took was like aspirin and
ibuprofen and probiotics."
Yeah, and I'm like, "Oh my god, that's fucking great!"
Yeah, because these kids are just posers, really.
Well, it made me think of a specific time when, no names mentioned, somebody drank a pitcher of orange juice out of my refrigerator, yep, and I convinced them, said person, that it was a screwdriver.
Yeah.
And that person proceeded to act drunk on my living room floor.
Oh, it was hilarious, too.
It was way fucking hilarious, because you're the only other person besides Sherry who knew that that person was not drunk.
Yep. And that was, yeah, man, the placebo effect is real. It is.
100%. Oh, it's totally real.
And I love, because, like, they stuff these kids in a closet, right? And they're not acting weird or high or anything.
Nope.
So, like, I mean, they still think they are, but they're not high. Like, they're obviously not acting high in any way, because they've never been high.
Here's the weird part, though. Did you notice, though, when they go into the closet, hands and stuff are empty? Val and Sophie step outside.
I don't think I realized that they were empty when they went in.
I'm pretty sure they were.
Because I know they're not when we see them in there. Because they've got like glow sticks and water bottles.
They got glow sticks. Glow sticks. I want to know where the fucking glow sticks came from.
Yeah. I'll have to go back and look at when they enter the room, because
I could be wrong, but I'm 95% sure when they go in there, their hands are empty.
Yeah.
Like they just walk into the room and get told, "Stand there and don't touch shit."
Yeah.
And then I love that the girls threaten them, thinking that they're still high, and they're like, "We don't want to have to tell your mom." And she's like, "Don't tell my mom. Oh, don't tell my mom. I'll do anything." And I was like, damn.
Yeah. And they essentially blackmail these kids into doing what they want.
Yeah. And then after before they blackmail them, Val and Sophie have their heart to heart.
Yeah.
And we find out that Val's not doing so good at work, and Sophie's really sad because she thinks she should be doing better as well.
Yeah.
And they have their comeback together.
Yeah. We find out they have a code. They don't lie to each other. And that's kind of where we learn about the Halloween thing.
Yes.
There was one thing that we skipped over that I wanted to mention that I thought was actually kind of funny, that they sort of brush past, and that's apparently that Sophie wants to like make out with her cousin.
Yeah.
And I'm just like,
I thought that was kind of funny, because even Val's like, "Wait, what?"
She's like, "He's an underwear model and I only see him like twice a year, so whatever."
Also though, I wanted to bring this up because I thought this was really cool. Val and Sophie have their rule: no lying to one another.
Yeah.
Me and you have that rule that, like, we don't let shit get between us and stuff. And I was like, "Oh man, we're Val and Sophie."
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely, man.
Dibs on being Sophie.
Oh, okay. I would have thought you would have wanted to be Val, but okay.
Why?
I don't know. She was like the play a pimp.
She is.
Of the two.
She's also the rebel. I'm totally the Val of the group. I just wanted to be Sophie for a minute.
That's fine, hey, man.
And then you took it from me, and now I'm Val. Fuck you.
Go for it.
No, you can be fuck yourself.
You are Sophie. You want to make out with your cousin.
Two bits.
Oh man, that was good.
Oh man.
So Sophie's able to get all the photos that she needs to get. Hopefully at least one with Lin-Manuel Miranda.
Hopefully. And then she has to figure out a photo to send in to this girl's mom.
Yeah.
And she's going to try to give her an opportunity to come work for her.
Yeah.
So hopefully she can find the right photo to send.
Yeah. So I'm sure that will be a thing throughout. Maybe that'll kind of culminate at the end of the season. I don't know.
Yeah, we'll see. Maybe.
It'll be interesting, but I thought that was a pretty decent episode. I really enjoyed it.
It was a really good episode.
Yeah.
Nice little party, some twerking.
The problem that I had was some of the inconsistencies in the logic, like we talked about. And I'm hoping that that's not a constant thing with this writer, because with these two writers, I don't want to see that happen anymore.
Yeah. Well, and especially because, like, it's easy to pick apart logic, like you said, especially the pills, the pigeons onto, like, going outside and stuff. Like, there was easy fixes to a couple of the things. And, like,
I thought it was very well directed, though. So I'm happy to see this director come back for the next episode.
Yes.
And see how that kind of all works out. But yeah, I really enjoyed it. What were your overall final thoughts on it?
I mean, it was good. It was really good.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I'd say like higher mid-range for the, you know what I mean?
I can agree with that.
Like, we got 7 episodes. I'd say this is probably in the top 3 of those 7.
Ooh.
That's what I'd say.
Fair.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, so that's all I got. If you got any final thoughts.
No.
All right. Well, let everybody know where they can find you then, my friend.
Ooh. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, hop on over to Twitter. Find me. It's Simply Sane J1. Read my podcast. Oh. Listen to my blog.
Read your podcast.
Yeah. Listen, dude. First off, I've been studying politics for months, okay? I stand by what I said. And when I become a senator,
you shake babies and kiss hands?
Yeah, absolutely I do.
Oh man, so many shaken babies. Listen, so many shaken babies.
I learned one thing in politics. First off, I'm breaking it because you never point. Shrunken thumb. Always shrunken thumb.
Shrunken thumb.
And two.
Okay, Orange Cassidy.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But number two is that you do not admit fault because it's never your fault. It's somebody else's fault. I stand by what I said.
You blame it on your assistant.
Read my podcast, listen to my blog. I stand by that.
That was your assistant's fault. He's parking your car.
That was my assistant's fault.
He's parking your car.
But I will say this. Ladies and gentlemen, if you want to check me out, Twitter's the place to find me. You want to find me in other places, you can find me assisting Josh every once in a while on his Merc with a Movie Blog page, which you're on currently if you're watching this.
Go
check out this motherfucker's awesome movie reviews, trailer reviews. He has got some awesome fucking content.
Yeah, just
you
dropped
need
a,
to go check it out.
I just dropped a trailer reaction for Jordan Peele's new movie, Nope. So check that out, guys. Nope.
Is it about Pawnee, Indiana?
That would be, dude, I totally made it. I don't know if you saw that tweet. I tweeted out, I was like, just watched the Nope trailer. I was like, somebody needs to replace some of the characters with Leslie Nope from Parks and Rec and retitle it Nope with a K. I was like, I need that in my life. Because it would be awesome.
I would watch that.
Yes. I'm glad that we were on that same wavelength, though.
Same wavelength, man.
But yeah, you can find me on Twitter at JP Raynor. That's JPRAYNOR. As well as right down here at Movie Blog Merc. That is the Twitter page for my site, Merc with Movie Blog, of which you are watching right now if you're watching this on YouTube. And if you are doing that, please hit that like button. It's big help.
Smash the subscribe button.
Smash it as hard as you can.
And don't forget to ring that little fucking bell.
Ding
and get
dong.
Notified every time a video drops. And if you're using a cell phone, I found out you can go up to your settings app and you can set a setting for any time a video drops. One here and there, all our videos. And trust me, you don't want to miss the content this man is putting out.
Well, I appreciate that. And ding dong, motherfucker. Ding dong.
Ding dong!
And if you're listening on podcast form, you can head over to anchor.fm/lastcallhimym. Leave us a voice message. It would be fantastic. We love to hear from you guys. We'll play it right here on air. And if you are on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, you can leave a 5-star review, and we will read that out on air as well. Yeah. And be sure to follow us right here on Twitter at Last Call, HIMYM. Every Monday and Friday, we're dropping episodes. Monday is How I Met Your Mother. Friday is How I Met Your Father until the season ends. Yeah, so keep an eye out for all of that. And I think that's everything I've got for him, man. What do you got for him?
Listen, you don't have to go home, but you cannot listen here.
All right, folks. Catch you next time.